Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
sit down before we shout.
Glory to God, Hosanna, Lord, we love you. Welcome, everyone, to Wednesday night Bible study, a time to study the Word of God, breaking it down, so that we can have a little bit more understanding of Scripture and how to apply it to our daily lives. The Bible study gives an opportunity for you all to come to understand the Word of God, not just to read it, not just to hear it, but to apply it. That means be a doer of the Word of God. Let the Word of God change your life. Amen. So please don't hold back. If you have any questions or comments tonight, we want to hear from you. Amen. Let us pray as we enter in. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah for this opportunity, for keeping us. Amen. Hallelujah. Clothing us in our right mind. So let us pray. Father God, we come tonight. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we come giving you our honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names. There is no one greater than you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, O God, for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for new mercy, O Lord. We thank you, O God, that you've kept us all day yesterday through the night, and right now, God, that you've given us this time, O Lord, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it, Heavenly Father, but you did, and we want to thank you, Father God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will move mighty on the line tonight, oh God, and everybody's home and heart and mind, amen. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Father God, that you will, oh Lord, fix that it is broken in us, oh God, mend the tear in our soul, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, let there be a pouring into on tonight, oh God. Let us receive revelation and knowledge, amen, and wisdom of your word, oh God, so that we can apply to your daily life. So that we can live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Lord, we ask that you allow the scripture and everything that we learn on tonight to take root and manifest in us mind, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, Father God, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you. We can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you. If we had 1,000 tongues apiece, we still couldn't thank you. Lord, we pray for everyone on the line tonight that's dealing with any kind of sickness or their family members, any ache, pain, discomfort, disease. We come against it right now with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare healing right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, by faith, combining our faith together on tonight. And we just want to say thank you, O God, that it is done, O Lord, because we believe, and so shall we receive it. Let it be unto us as we receive it. Amen. We come against every unteachable spirit on the line tonight, every hindering spirit, spirit of confusion, spirit of doubt, spirit of rebellion, spirit of anger. We come against every fighting spirit, familiar spirit. We come against every spirit of oppression, depression, worry, hallelujah, fear. We come against it right now, spirit of suicide. We come against it right now, hallelujah, with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to cease your work from die at the root and cut out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We bless you all in name. We put the blood of Jesus Christ over this Bible study and all that's on the line, our homes and all that we have and all that we will have. And we decree and declare, wherever the blood of Jesus Christ is, the enemy cannot come near. And we thank you for the Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody here in Bible study tonight, all that can make it tonight. And we are still, you all, talking about the spirit of Belial as we've been studying over the last couple of weeks here as our lesson focuses on deliverance, hallelujah, and spiritual warfare. And Belial is a spirit. Amen. And understand that tonight we're going to come out of the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. Chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. And I'm going to be reading out the King James Version. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And verse 15 says, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So right here in Scripture, when there is an unequal yoke between believers and unbelievers, We call this an ungodly soul tie. So we talk about ungodly soul ties here. Ungodly soul ties. So breaking ungodly soul ties is a key to deliverance. Amen. So ungodly association causes evil spirits to be transferred. So if the Lord cannot directly control you, he will influence you through ungodly association. So associating you all with the wrong people can cause you to receive an evil transfer of spirits. See, one of the keys of being delivered from the Lord's control is to break every ungodly soul tie and obey the word of God, which says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When we look in the William translation, hallelujah, it says, stop forming intimate and inconsistent relationships with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:15 is the only time the name Belial is mentioned in the New Testament. I believe the Spirit of God chose this word to bring revelation to a spirit that the church must not in any way be in fellowship with. See, this verse ties Belial with unrighteousness, darkness, infidels, and idolatry. The first reference you all to Belial in the Word of God ties him to idolatry. So the Corinthians have been saved from a lifestyle of idolatry. You all have stated before, I believe that Belial is an end time spirit. We talked about this last week, last Wednesday. I believe that Belial is an end time spirit that will be an enemy of the church. We are to separate ourselves from all uncleanness and filthiness that is associated with this ruling spirit. We have to. You know, somebody feel like we still can be amongst this type of behavior and spirits that are operating people, even in our family. You all, the Church of Corinth also had a problem with carnality. There was strife and envy and contention, sexual impurity, and even darkness taking place within the church. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to Corinth to correct these problems and to set things in order. My Lord, my God. We go over to the book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12. And like I said earlier, I'm coming out the King James Version. So, 1 Samuel, hallelujah. 1 Samuel. And I'm repeating so we all can get there. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. So when we look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 here, talk about Belial's war against the Lord's anointed. And we'll talk about Belial's war against the Lord's anointed. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. We look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, if you go over, same book, same chapter. The verse 22, the Bible says, now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So the sons of Eli represent ministry. They, along with Eli, were in charge of the priesthood, regulating the temple and the sacrifices of Israel. Their abuses brought the judgment of the Lord upon them and the establishment of a new order under Samuel. So these sons are called sons of Belial. They were being motivated and controlled by the spirit of Belial. See, one of the works you all of Belial is to bring uncleanness into the temple of God. See, the ministry is a project of this spirit. He desires to draw the servant of the Lord, his anointed, into sin, especially sexual sin, to bring reproach to the church. So these priests were also guilty of greed in making themselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, same chapter, chapter 2, verse 29. If you go down to verse 29, we see this here in Scripture. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling place and honor your sons more than me to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? So this is what Scripture is saying. See, their sins were so great that men abhorred the offering of the Lord. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. You can see it for yourself. You go to verse 17, same chapter, same book, different verse, verse 17. If you read verse 17 here, it says, therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. My Lord, my God. So we see it here in Scripture. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, 25, go down to verse 25. Verse 25 reads, hallelujah. I'm sorry if I'm going to slow down a little bit, make sure I'm not leaving anyone. Verse 25 reads, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. You all, Abraham translation says, for Yahweh was pleased to put them to death. For Yahweh, we're talking about God, Almighty God, all Father God, was pleased to put them to death. The Lord judged their sin with death. There's no reason for this kind of activity, especially from those who are in ministry. God forbid that men of God would lay with a woman in the women in their congregations. We're seeing this more and more and more. The spirit of Belial desires to draw the servants of God into this kind of hideous activity in order to bring judgment upon the servants of the Lord. See, the sons of Eli knew not the Lord. True apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers know the Lord. They also know that there are moral standards by which God's servants are expected to live. We are expected to live. Who knowing the judge? Who knowing the judgment of God, that which commits such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My Lord, my God, look at Romans, you all, sorry. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. So I just read. You all, what sins do Paul mention that are worthy of death? The answer is idolatry, homosexuality, and lesbianism. Now, I'm not stating that every person involved in these sins should be put to death. Thank God for his mercy. There is salvation offered to all. Jesus died and shed his blood for sin. For those who repent and accept his sacrifices, hallelujah, will receive deliverance and forgiveness of sin. However, the judgment of God does come to those who, with a hard and impenitent heart, you all, that will not repent, that will continue to live this way. My Lord, my God, if you go with me here, we're still in 1 Samuel. Hallelujah, chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, everyone, 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you go there with me, verse 26 to 27, hallelujah, 26 to 27, I'm going to open up the lines in a minute if y'all have any questions or comments here. So we're going to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26 to 27. The Bible says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. But, verse 27 says, but some rebels said, some rebels said, how can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. I want you to look at go to chapter 20 with me, verse 1. Saint First Samuel, chapter 20, verse 1 with me. Hallelujah. Chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says, then David fled from Naboth, y'all, in Ramah, and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So, you are another manifestation of Belial is to reject the Lord's anointed. This is another manifestation of Belial is to reject the Lord's anointed. This is the spirit of irreverence, you all, and disrespect for the ones who are sent by God. Belial hates the anointed of the Lord. God's anointed brings deliverance, you all. It brings deliverance to the people. God's anointed, we as God's anointed, bring deliverance to the people. So one translation of 2 Samuel 20, verse 1, calls Sheba a man of worthlessness. See, the Amplified version calls him a base, a contemptible fellow. So those controlled by Belial will despise the Lord's anointed. To despise means to look down on with contempt or aversion, to regard as you are worthless or distasteful. So this was the attitude of those controlled by Belial toward David, the Lord's anointed. The basic English translation of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 27 says, and having no respect for him, they gave him no offering. Belial will cause individuals to not support men and women sent by the Lord. They will withhold their financial support. While it is important to honor and respect those who are called and sent by the Lord. One of the ways we honor them is to support them financially and to bless them with our words. It is dangerous to touch the Lord's anointed. And we receive the Lord's anointed. We will receive the fullness and blessings of the Lord. And I'll repeat that, you all. As we receive the Lord's anointed, we will receive the fullness and blessings of the Lord. Belial hates the Lord's anointed. I'll say that again. Belial hates the Lord's anointed. Preachers and teachers anointed by God are a hindrance to Belial's work. Godly leaders call men to repentance and a lifestyle of righteousness. They bring deliverance and restoration to the people of God. They are a restraining influence of the work of Belial. So this is why Belial hates God's anointed. See, the spirit of Belial gets irritated when God's anointed is around to bring, hallelujah, correction, warning to the people and correction for them to repent. So they'll find every excuse to do what they want. They have every excuse why they don't and why they can't listen to God's anointed. It's the spirit that's in them that does not agree because they're operating with the spirit of Belial. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take anybody have any comments or questions at this time. Press 1. I want to hear from you if you have any questions or comments about what's been taught so far, what we talked about so far in our lesson. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody in Bible study tonight. Okay, so if you don't have any questions or comments, I just want to make sure I give everybody the opportunity before I continue on. Press 1 if you have any questions or comments. And like I always say in Bible study, if you got on a little bit late or you missed anything or moved a little too quick for you, you can always go back. If you just want to hear it again, you can always go back and listen to it and write down the scriptures. If you missed the scripture that I gave out tonight, you can always go back and get that scripture or to hear it again and share it with someone about the lesson on tonight. So you can always log back into go on your computer, your smartphone, www.blogtalkradio.com/the preacher and the pastor. Amen. Sister Dilla, God bless you. Welcome.
I just have a comment on how good you're explaining and breaking it down to where we can, well, I can understand. And I'm quite
Amen.
Sure everybody else will comment on how you're teaching us and helping
Amen.
Us with these words, stuff that we don't
Amen.
Know. Better understand that. Yes. That's my comment. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We thank God.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for you, Sister Billy. God bless you, Mama. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for his apostles and those that he's put in position that are anointed by God to hear from God, to, you know, to be able to deliver, you know, that we have the Bible and so much material to learn and to be fueled on so that we can be the doers of the Word of God and live a life that is righteous and holy and godly. And the only way we can do that is to learn and study the Word of God and apply it to our life and allow it to change us. The Word of God brings change. If we're reading the Bible and it's not changing us when we're the same way, then what are we reading for? Or we're reading to receive and receive a change, because the Word of God changes us, not for the worse, but for the better, so that we can live a life that is upright and pleasing in the sight of our Lord, not to the world, amen, but to the sight of the Lord, but so that the world can see, you know, God's example here on earth, you know, amen. God bless you. I keep you all. Thank you so much. I want to talk about now. I want to go to, Second Samuel, you all, chapter 16, 2 Samuel, chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 5. 2 Samuel, hallelujah. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. I want to give everybody the opportunity to get there. Chapter 16 and verse 5. All right. All right, so I'm going to read coming out the New King James Version. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5 through 7, it says, "Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." Verse 7 said, "Also Shimei said, thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty men, you rule." So here we go. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, which I just read, Shimei, you all, was calling King David a worthless man. So the basic English version says, "You good for nothing." David was fleeing from his rebellious son, Absalom, when he encountered Shimei, you all, who was from the family of the house of Saul, and was no doubt angry at the fact that David had succeeded Saul as king. So Shimei, you all, was accusing David of being a rebellious murderer who was responsible for Saul's fall. So after David was returned to his position in Jerusalem, Shimei came to him and repented of what he said. So Abishai desired to have Shimei put to death for cursing the Lord's anointed. When we look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, we're still in 2 Samuel here, but if you go over to chapter 19, verse 21, just go on over to chapter 19 down to verse 21. Hallelujah. Let's give our time to get there. Same book, same 2 Samuel, chapter 19, verse 21 reads, I hope you all are there. It says, "But Absalom, the son of Zerah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? David, however, had mercy upon Shimei, and did not put him to death. See, strong intercessors help cover the men and women of God from the attacks of the lie. A curse is an evil spirit spoken against a person or a thing. Words spoken against the servants of God are spiritual arrows sent by the enemy to hurt and destroy. I want you to understand that, to hurt and destroy. They are what the word refers to as the fiery darts of the wicked. When we look in Ephesians 6 and 16, hallelujah, just so you can lay eyes to for yourself. So whenever we have our Bible study so that you can see for yourself what the word says in Ephesians 6 and 16. And I'm going to ask Sister Billy to read this for me tonight. Sister Billy, Ephesians 6 and 16, if you don't mind.
King James Version, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
That is correct. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Christian Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word. Amen. So David understood the spiritual warfare the Lord's anointed experienced when men cursed. So David's prayer in Psalm 64, you all, hallelujah. I know a lot of us like the book of Psalms, Proverbs. So in the book of Psalms, chapter 64, hallelujah. You can go over here for yourself and lay eyes to the scriptures. 64, Psalm 64, verse 2 through 3. The Bible says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, who sharpen their tongues like a sword, and then their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. So we're talking about words here. He's talking about curse words. The cursing with the word with words. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So understanding here who with their tongue like a sword and says, and then their bows to shoot the arrows, even bitter words. So these words are witchcraft attacks against the servants of the Lord. I want you to understand it. These words are witchcraft attacks against the servants of the Lord. They are spiritual missiles directed toward the Lord's anointed. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is the book of Proverbs 18:21. We hear, we say it, but life surely and death is surely in the power of the tongue. This is one of the methods that Belial uses to direct his assaults against the servants of the Lord. This mouth, the mouth we have, you all, it can start a war. This mouth, if we're not careful, we say this mouth, the power that we have in our mouth. Amen. The power that we have in our mouth, we have to understand that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can say something if someone wants to just question them, or makes them want to just kill themselves or start war or to attack you. Or you can say something that can just get somebody to rethink their life over with walking instead of jumping off the cliff to come back from the cliff and decide, you know, I'm going to give them another chance, you know, lighten their day up, bless their lives. So what we say, it's the same, you know, vice versa. And hallelujah. Does anybody have any questions or comments so far? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, well, I want to go back to the book of Samuel. If y'all go back with me, 2 Samuel. I want to go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23. I hope everybody's doing fine today. I had a good day, work day, blessed day. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23, again, verse 6 through 7. I'm going to read it for you. I hope you are there on King James Version. It says, but the sons of Belial shall be all. We're talking about coming against Belial. Coming against Belial now. But the Bible says, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be cinched with iron and the staff of a spear. And they shall be utterly burned with the fire of the same people. So this verse compares the son of the law to thorns that cannot be handled. So those who deal with the law must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear. A thorn is something that causes distress or irritation, y'all. So to be thorny means to be full of difficulties or controversial points. So this verse pronounces the judgment upon Belial and those who follow him. Amen. So they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. This is a reference to eternal damnation in hellfire. I believe that Belial is a spirit that will cause many to die lost and spend eternity in hell. You are fenced with iron, and the staff of the spirit is a reference to putting on the whole armor of God. So we cannot deal with this spirit without the whole armor of God. The Lord is raising up intercessors and preachers to come against this spirit in the last days. This is an end-time spirit assigned to corrupt the world, but the Lord has end-time people to combat him. See, David had to fight and overcome the men controlled by Belial. David is a type of New Testament church. He is a type of the prophetic church the Lord is raising up in this hour. Just as David overcame, we will also overcome the end time spirit. We will not handle this spirit with our natural hands. He is too thorny and difficult for that. We must and will attack him in the power of the Spirit, wearing the armor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, my God, I'm going to wrap up right here tonight, you all. It's a lot more to come in our studies with spiritual warfare and deliverance. But, you know, as we're talking about Belial tonight and wrapping up Belial, does anybody have any questions or comments regarding the scripture tonight and lesson on tonight? If you do, press 1. I'd love to hear your comments or your questions that you may have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Nobody has any questions or comments? Okay. Wow. So we're here. We've been here about 30 minutes in the study for tonight. Okay. Sister Dilla, I think Sister Dilla has a question or comment. Sister Dilla, you have a question or comment?
Yes, give me a comment. The lesson was good, but for all of us, we got to put on the armor of God. You know, put our breastplate of righteousness to shield from all this evil that's going. The evil. The Bible is telling the thing that's going on in this world. We live in the Bible. How is it going? Whether people want to know it or not, we doing the same thing. But we need to get ourselves in order. Get in a straight line. In other words, get straight. The Lord is telling us something right now. And hope everybody else enjoyed it and understand it, and don't be afraid to come in, because the more I ask questions, because I want to know. Any questions are bad questions. I just want to know, because I don't know. So I enjoy the Bible study. Listen, keep up reading you, and come on, church. Ask these questions.
Come on, church.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for that comment. And then that you said that, I thank you that you said that, because when we look in the book of Ephesians, which I was supposed to do earlier, in chapter 6, you all, in verse 10 through, it tells us about putting on the whole armor of God, and we have to put on the whole armor of God. Because the Bible says, I'm going to read this and kind of break it down a little bit, and I'll take the next comment or question. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, you all, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up a whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having to done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So reading here and understanding, amen, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that the scripture here in Ephesians 6, chapter 10, through verse 18, that it would take root and manifest in us, that we'll know to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand in this evil day, the times that we're facing right now, the evil day, amen, that evil day, and understanding that, and putting on the full armor and what that means, and the belt, and in the breastplate, in the footgear, in the shield, and the helmet. You all, although we as Christians may be at a different level in earthly society, they are where we at. As we grow in and have an understanding what that is. In Christian life, we battle against principalities and powers, the powerful evil force of fallen angels headed by Satan, who is vicious. You all, he's a vicious spider. To withstand, to stand their attack, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. Apostle Paul is not only giving this counsel to the church, the body of Christ, but to all individuals within the church. The whole body needs to be armed. So as you do battle against the rulers of darkness of this age, fight in the strength of the church whose power comes from the Holy Spirit. You all, these who are not flesh and blood are demons over whom Satan has control. They are not mere fantasies, you all. They are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. When we believe in Christ, these beings become our enemies, and then they try every device to turn us away from him and back to sin. So although we are assured of victory, we must engage in the struggle, my Lord, my God, until Christ returns, because Satan is constantly battling against all who are on the Lord's side. So we need supernatural power to defeat Satan, and God has provided this by giving us his Holy Spirit within us and his armor surrounding us. If you feel discouraged, remember Jesus' words to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 I think Evangelist Kim, I believe, has a question or comment, and I want to come back to the scripture. Evangelist Kim, God bless you. Welcome.
God bless you, too. I have a question or a comment. When you say the spirit of the Belial, is that Satan, or is it like a spirit from Satan?
Yeah, when we talk about anything about everything has to do with Satan and the spirits. These operate through Satan and his kingdom. So you have different spirits that are in the kingdom of Satan that are operating. We are in the kingdom of God, so we have the Holy Spirit. We only have a Holy Spirit. But Belial comes to take up not just one person, but we're talking about a nation of people.
Gotcha. But it's like, it's saying the spirit of Belial the same as saying Satan, or it's different? Or he's just part of Satan's camp?
Well, he's part of Satan's camp, and he works on different parts. Yes, he has different, remember, there's different levels of demons and different levels of spirits that operate. And you got high-ranking demons and spirits, and Belial is one of those spirits. It's a high-ranking spirit.
Yes.
And he operates in cahoots with Jezebel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's one question. And then about the full armor of God, the whole armor, I was saying, I always think about that scripture, and, you know, some people say, yeah, you got to put on the armor of God, but they forget to say full or whole armor, and it's just like a soldier going out to battle, but they don't have all of their weapons, so their equipment, and, of course, they're easier to be defeated because they're not fully equipped. And so when I hear full armor, different from just armor. You know, so you got to have everything. So I like that.
That's why people go on the wall with just a gun. They don't have a, you know, they don't have a helmet on. They don't have, you know, the boots on. You know, you just out there. Somebody was playing football. In practice, they only have on the helmet and just the shoulder pads. They don't have on the padding for their legs and the butt pad and all that kind of stuff for football. So, but have, and they still end up getting hurt because they're not in the full armor to protect them.
Yeah.
So they're still doing that. They're on another field because they're practicing, but people still get hurt during practice. So I'm glad. That's why I said I'm glad you say that we have to put on the full armor of God, not just the helmet, not just the sword, but the full armor. Don't decide what piece you want to put on today and just have the sword, but you don't have the helmet on. You don't have the breastplate on. You haven't girded yourself the truth. So you got, you haven't shunned your feet with the gospel of peace. So you got to have on the full to operate. And that's why he said, I'm praying, but you have not fully clothed, you have not fully armored yourself with the full armor of God. So, yeah.
Amen. I love that. Okay, well, thank you. Wonderful job. Teaching. Wonderful job again.
Amen. Glory to God. We thank God. Thank you for your comment and everything. We thank God. And God have a blessing in the reading. Hallelujah, and the doers of his word, amen. And so before we wrap up here tonight, if we have anybody else have any questions or comments, we're open to receive every question, every comment. If I don't have the answer, I will get the answer, and we'll go to the scripture together. And I'm not saying I know everything. I'm always learning, just like you are. So I just thank God for the opportunity to receive. I'm learning. I'm open to learn. I'm excited about the things of God and different levels of learning. Amen. And I'll be learning the rest of my life. Amen. And I'm excited about that, the mysteries of God. There's no one that knows it all. God is constantly revealing. Amen. For those that you want to reveal to, those who are ready, you can't imagine if God put too much on you at a certain level, how you would be able to handle that. Because when we look around, and I look around and see the things of God, I'd be like, wow, my mind cannot begin to even process, you know, the things that God has done in the creation of this world, what it takes to even to keep us up and going, and that this body is functioning on the inside, and we don't have any control over knowing if it's going to stop right now on us, or, you know, what it's going to do next on the inside. We can't see what's going on, but God created us. My Lord, my God, just that he reveals to those that, you know, he decided is ready to give to. So I'm excited about the pouring in and receiving. Amen. And learning. Before we wrap up here, I said I wanted to kind of just break down something else here in scripture in verses 18, you all, before we close out tonight. Hallelujah. Verse 18 and 19 here. And I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, 18 and 19 here. In verse 20, and I didn't read verse 20, but I want to read verse 26, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And this is the Apostle Paul. So here, you all, I say this, how can anyone pray on all occasions? How can we do that? How can anyone pray on all occasions? One way is to make quick, brief prayers your habit response to every situation you meet throughout the day. And another way is to order your life around God's desire and teachings so that you are that your very life becomes a prayer. So you don't have to isolate yourself from other people and from daily work in order to pray constantly. So you can make prayer your life and your life a prayer while living in a world that needs God's powerful influence. Supplication from all the saints means praying for all believers in Christ. So pray for the Christians you know and for the church around the world, for the churches around the world, you all, you know, throughout the day. Even for me, I have my set time that I pray in the morning before I do anything else. I have this, my devotion, my prayer, and, you know, the things that I do daily and throughout the day, just thanking God and praying and just, you know, prayers of thanksgiving. And, you know, if I'm driving, I'm thanking God for protecting me, and I'm pleading the blood. If I'm in the store, I'm, you know, just being grateful and acknowledging God through my day, you know, because I'm so grateful, in a place of gratefulness, and just thanking God for all that God has done and his protection, especially when I don't know if you ever, something almost was just about to happen to you, or you seen something happen right in front of your eyes and saying, it could have been me, nothing but God. God made this happen. Oh, if it would have been a minute sooner, a minute later, or, oh, my time blew out right when I pulled up to the house. Good God, if it would have been on the freeway and then I had my kids. You know, we have so much to be thankful for and grateful for in those moments and just thanking God. It don't have to be these long, drawn-out prayers, you all. Some people feel like, oh, I got to pray for 2, 4, 6, 10 hours to feel like I really got my prayer through. It, you know, well, there's times it's for that. But there's times, you know, you just pray and say, Lord, help me. That is a prayer. Open your mouth and acknowledging God as your help. You know, looking up to God and knowing your help from, your help coming from the Lord, and thanking God for the help. If every person helping the help right now, you know, you say that prayer, you know, just thanking Him throughout the day. The prayers of thanksgiving, amen. I hope tonight the lesson, you know, helps somebody, definitely helped me. And it just, you know, just having Bible study, having the time to study Bible, you just never know what somebody's going through. And when we get to Bible study, something that's tough come breaking off of us, you know, all the stuff we've been picked up during the day or yesterday, and we're getting to the Word, and we're destroying these strongholds and soul ties and strong men and, you know, these prisons that the enemy has put us in, locked us in, our mind, our mental state, and we get in Bible study, and that thing is broken off, and then we feel the light, we're feeling free again, and that's what the Word of God does. We're feeling better, you know, not feeling all that good and getting on the line and then boom, it just it hits you, and then you're feeling refreshed and restored, you know. And I thank God for the Word. So like I said, I'm just excited. I thank you all. Thank you, Sister Connie and Minister Lauren being on tonight as well, and everyone else that's tuned in via the internet, Sister Dillon, just Kimberly Rufford, Pastor F.A. Manning, and everyone else that's here on tonight. We thank God for you. And those that will listen to this broadcast about Bible study at a later day, God bless you. You know, our Father's omnipotent, omnipresent. So when you listen to it at that time, I know that you will truly be blessed. Amen. And that the strongholds of the loud, strong ties, and strong men will be broken and destroyed. If you receive it, it shall be unto you. Amen. So before I wrap up here, I want to go on verse 19 and 20, and we'll wrap up here tonight. The Bible says in we're going to verse 19 and 20. 19 says, and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So undiscouraged and undefeated, Paul wrote powerful letters of encouragement from prison. Apostle Paul did not ask the Ephesians to pray that his chains would be removed, but that he would continue to speak seriously, you all, for Christ in spite of them. God can use us in any circumstance to do his will, amen? So even as we pray for a change in our circumstances, we should also pray that God will accomplish his plan through us right where we are. Knowing God's eternal purpose, you all, for us will help us through the difficult times. Amen. May God bless, keep, heal, deliver, set free, provide, and make a way, lead and guide you, strengthen you. Amen. Protect. All that you love. My God, we thank you for the God. Let us pray as we close out tonight. Lord, we leave this time in the presence of our Heavenly Father who keeps us, amen, who provides for us, who makes a way when it seems to be no way. Father God, we thank you. We come now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for the lesson on tonight, oh God, and the comfort, oh God, that you have led, oh God, with your spirit, oh God, to provide, oh God, in such a way. We thank you, oh God, for every word upon word, precept upon precept, oh God, line upon line. I ask, oh God, in Jesus' name, oh God, that all that we learn tonight, that it would take root in all of us, oh God, and that it will manifest in our actions, Father God, that we would not be unequally yoked, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, those that are unbelievers, Father God, but Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to use us great and mighty. We come against the spirit of Belial in every area of our life, and those of our family members and loved ones, and the life of our children right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare, hallelujah, you will not and you cannot, hallelujah, have not one of God's own. And we thank you for the Lord. We bless your holy name. Lord, as we leave this line and never your presence, I ask that you bless all right now. And as we lay down on tonight, oh God, I ask, oh God, that you will send your angel of restoration, your angel of healing and deliverance, God, the angel of joy, oh God, to pour into us great and mighty, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Y'all have a beautiful night in the Lord. I love you. I thank God for you, and I appreciate you all coming into agreement. Thank you for all your comments and those who had questions on tonight. I hope all your questions was answered. And I thank God for all that he's doing. You all be blessed. Have a good night.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say, well.
Call me
one time.